Welcome to back to the Touching Bases podcast. First time we're going live because we just had some news drop. We were just going to do a little bit of talking about Juan Soto, the Mets, Yankees falling out, kind of not sure what they were going to do, and then picking up Max Fried. And as soon as we're about to hit record, Red Sox just got Garrett Crochet. Joining me is Jason. And I mean, from a Yankees perspective, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, to be honest. I mean, I'm over the whole Juan Soto thing. Obviously, that was a crushing blow. But,
I mean,
you know, and looking back at it now, it's like we're probably better off. Because at $760 million, that's a steep price to pay for one player.
How much is Steinbrenner, like, worth? I want to say how much is he worth, but how much money does he have? Like, what is $760 million to him?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's not coming out of his pocket. It's going to be whatever the Yankees' revenue is. I'm not sure what he's worth, but he's not nearly worth as much as Steve Cohen. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know what Steve Cohen even does, but, I mean, let's see. I'm trying to look this up. Yankees' revenue. I'm just curious. I know we're going to touch on – on Garrett Crochet because that's a big return for the White Sox.
It is, and he's right in our backyard now.
Yeah,
Yankee fan. So
yeah, he's not on a 121 losing streak. Yeah, well, this is interesting. So this is October 25th, 2024. The Sportico says certain things are not disclosed, but by the clubs as far as their sales go, and in-stadium concessions, parking, television revenue. But in 2023, the Yankees produced $720 million in total revenue.
So we can afford it.
Barely.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of the overall number, but you got I look at it like a car payment almost. Like, what's the AAV?
Yeah.
Annually, how much is he going to cost?
Well, he was getting offered $760 by the Yankees in 2023. They didn't even make that much.
Yeah, so the annually it would have been $47 million or something like that. I could be off. So that I'll try to look at it that way. It makes you feel a little bit better when you look at it that way, especially for Mets fans.
Yeah. It's $87 million more than the Dodgers. That's in 2023. So this is pre-Shohei. Yep. So yeah, they could have afforded it probably, but I'm curious what the numbers are for 2024 when Soto was actually in New York.
Oh, definitely. They definitely made a lot more money, and they made it to the World Series. Remember, 2023, we didn't even make it to the playoffs. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's been rough since like 2009. So, I mean, it's been rough there, but I mean, you got Max Fried, and I think we'll touch on all that. Right now, Garrett Crochet. So, the lineup for that is Red Sox are receiving Garrett Crochet, and I don't think they're receiving anybody else, right? It's just that one for four.
That's what it looks like.
Okay, so the White Sox are going to be getting catcher Kyle Teal, who is the number four in the Red Sox organization. They're also going to be getting Braden Montgomery, who's an outfielder, who's their number five in their organization, but he won't be MLB ready until 2027, estimated. Infielder, and I'm going to mess this up, Chase Meidroth, I think it is, Meidroth. He's the number 11. He's also an infielder in the Boston Red Sox organization, who is probably going to make it to the bigs this coming season. And then last is going to be a right-handed pitcher. I don't know if he's a starter. You can kind of look at this. Let's see his stats. The game started. He is a starter. Okay, so he is a starter, and he will be ready for the 2025 season. And that will be, Wickelman Gonzalez is an interesting name. Not too bad, but he's definitely not a Crochet player as far as his ERA goes. Let's see. In rookie ball through a 3.60 ERA, single A, was able to only put up a 4.54 ERA, and then up to double A, he sort of found a groove. I don't know entirely what he did here, but out of 10 starts, he threw a 2.42 ERA. It's also double A still, but
double A is pretty tough though. That's a big jump from single A to double A. So
yeah, it's a jump, but how does 2.42 translate to MLB? Especially if they're saying that he's gonna be ready this coming season and being a starter. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to call him up, because if you think about the trade that the White Sox did getting Drew Thorpe, they threw him right in there, and he was never going to see the MLB while he's with the Padres. So,
or the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, number the 4, 5, 11, and 14 of an organization of top prospects. That's exactly what I was talking about in a lot of my posts on X, and just talking about, I mean, especially to the Red Sox, especially to like other teams that were talking about in on Crochet and going after him. Like, the trade package was going to have to be big for Getz to bite at it.
Oh, definitely. And he's a tough cookie to deal with too. You know,
If I'm the
Red Sox, immediately you got to start talking extension with Crochet.
Yeah, how many years does he have left?
I think this is his last year before free agency. We could look that up.
I think that's arbitration. Mm-hmm. Hold on, let's see.
Oh, he might have 2 years left.
I think he has still his arbitration.
He's getting close, but you don't give up a package like that
unless you have some control. Mm-hmm. My concern is, and I think this is great for Red Sox, for Red Sox fans that are watching, if you are watching this at a later day and reviewing, I mean, it's a good pickup. I do have my concerns, though, with Crochet. I would much rather spend the money, if this was my team, mm-hmm. I'd much rather spend the money and get Corbin Burns on my team, and then Crochet is like a secondary. Does this mean that the Red Sox are out and they're not getting Corbin Burns? I don't know, because that's a lot of your top prospects that are now gone. Yeah, you still have Marcelo Mayer. You know, you still have Roman Anthony. You still have Christian Campbell. So you still have your top three, but your 4 and 5 are gone. And then Franklin Arias is he's going to be ready in 2028 along with Cespedes. So, I mean, a lot of your guys that were going to be ready this season are now gone. And that's for Garrett Crochet, who was – he was the best, right? He was the best last year up until, I would say, a month after the All-Star break. And then everything got real weird with him. And that's where my concern is.
Yeah. And you know, there's been reports that he's dealing with injuries and stuff like that. I mean, who knows? At the end of the day, I think as a Red Sox fan, it's a win. I mean, they haven't pretty much done anything in a while. So
they needed to. Fans were getting pissed. Like, you missed out on Soto. You missed out on Freed. Mm-hmm. Like, you missed out. You didn't get Adames. You didn't get any of these other bats. You didn't. I mean, you let Tyler O'Neill go to Baltimore, who's a rival team inside the division. It's like, what is happening? They still haven't signed anybody, though. And that's where I think that they need to capitalize, because if they were willing to go $700 million for a single player for 15 years, however long it was, 14 years, you have money, so you can't. You can't tell the fans like, I can't afford it.
Yeah, they showed their hand. So
yeah, it's a little too late when it comes. I mean,
there's still players out there they could go after. Mm-hmm. There's still players out. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade for like a Nolan Arenado. It's obviously not the big trade you want to do, but
he said that he'll go there. Six teams he'll go to, and I guess that's one of them. And I mean.
And then you can put Rafi at first. I think it makes sense.
But why? I'm still torn on that, because of the multiple teams that Arenado openly said that he would go to. You have the Red Sox, who it's like, okay, this is where the hype is. This is where most of the talk has been the Red Sox. But to me, they seem like the least, or one of the three least logical. Like, Dodgers, what's the point of that? They already mentioned, and I was going back and forth with Jeff Fletcher, who's the beat writer for the Angels. And, you know, he made a whole article on it and shared it with me that, you know, the Dodgers are, they said, no, we're good with Max Muncy. He's not going anywhere. He's our guy. So Dodgers are out. And the Angels, I still think, would be a great fit for him. At the same time, I don't know if they're going to go after a contract that big, because they are making moves. but they, you know, it's the Angels, you know, they yeah, make a lot of moves, but they, a big splash like that would be big. And I'm not exactly sure who they'd be willing to give up. And when they have all this talk about giving up an outfielder, it's like, who's the outfielder you're talking about giving up? Because you shouldn't be letting go of Taylor Ward. You shouldn't be, you know, you're not letting go of Mike Trout, of course. You're not, I mean, are we talking about Joe Adell? But I think that's not going to get you Arenado.
I think more than anything, I mean, you don't have to give up much. If it's a salary dump on the Cardinals part, then they can't expect much of a return. Unless they throw in somebody in there, you know.
They could, but also, I mean, they have a future Hall of Famer name. You know, I don't know when he's going to make the Hall of Fame, but with all of his accolades, especially defensively and the way he actually did play at the beginning of his career, he's future Hall of Famer. So they're using that to their advantage, because you're not going to just, I mean, if you're salary dumping, you're getting back as much as you possibly can, because now you're like, okay, we're going to prepare for 2026, 2027. But they already said they're not doing that. They're like, we're not, what was their wording? We're not doing a rebuild. We're what did they say? It was like some weird beat around the bush version of like
the retooling.
Retooling. Retooling. Yes, thank you. That was it. Retooling, which is like,
what about Buster Posey? You think he'll bring him to San Francisco? That'd be a tough one, right?
What were you gonna? What are you gonna do with Chapman? You just extended him.
That's no. But I mean, he said he'll play first. I know they have a Lamont Wade Jr. I believe is their first baseman.
I'd
take Nolan Arenado any day over him.
True. And yeah, I guess Arenado's open to going over to first base and playing first base for them. But and then I guess what you're gonna trade away Lamont Wade or make him your DH? I mean,
I know a lot of Yankee fans are talking about.
Yeah. Do you think that Yankee? So you're from your what you're hearing, I should say. Mm-hmm. Yankees are interested on Lamont.
No,
Wade?
Not Yankees, but that was one of the
like Yankee fans.
Names being thrown out there by Yankees fans. Exactly.
I mean, honestly, I think the fans, when the more they speak up, the more, you know, every fan base kind of comes to this conclusion or this agreement of like who is a good idea, who is not a good idea, because you know it circulates so fast. But I was just looking at the Angels as far as prospects, if they were to trade anything away, but like almost every single one of their players are not going to be ready till 2026, 2027, 2028. Besides the ones that have already played this last year. So I mean Christian Moore, but they're not giving up Christian Moore. He's their number two. I don't know why he's their number two. I would say Caden Dana, I feel like he's good, but I don't see him as their number one. I think Christian Moore is their big hype guy, their second baseman. So, but he's in Double A. So I don't know if they're really going to call him up this soon. It's just, I don't see a lot of options to send to St. Louis from the Angels. That's the only thing that's kind of iffy, but I think the Angels should do it. They should find a way to do it because they should replace Rendon for the next two seasons. You're paying him, but this whole idea of paying somebody who's not willing to play, it's like, well, we're paying him, so he's going to play. It's like, but you're not going to win.
Yeah.
You know, and he's injured 80% of the season.
I think it's, the Cardinals are in a tough spot with that because obviously he has a full no trade clause. So whatever team, I'm sure there's other teams out there that would love him and could probably put together a better package, but he already put out his list. These are the teams that he's willing to go to. So they kind of have their hands tied with that.
Yeah.
I want to circle back on the Lamont Wade thing. That was if Soto was re-signed by the Yankees. Then I was like, okay, you know, because now we have to kind of save a little bit. Exactly. Yeah. But now that he's gone, we can afford a Christian Walker or something.
Yeah, I heard he's in the talks with them. I mean, I think now that I guess this was inevitable. It didn't really matter before Soto signed. Like it was the market was tamed a little bit because money was being saved for that for Soto, at least for those major teams. And then now that he's signed, it's like, all right, well, I know what the Red Sox have. I know what the Yankees have. You know, I know what the Blue Jays have. The Blue Jays are weird. That trade yesterday was, that was a, I don't know what they're doing, but it's not smart. I can tell you that. And Blue Jays fans, you're not going to be happy hearing me say this, but Andrés Giménez was not worth Horwitz by any means. If you look at a Savant page, it was, it's atrocious. If you look at a Savant page from 2022, makes complete sense to me. But last year, and they went to the playoffs. Oh my God. And then of course I was giving pats in the back to Cleveland. And then they're like, nah, we want pitching. So they send him away to the Pirates. So, I mean, I think the Pirates win. I'm the Pirates win, Horwitz. Right? I like Horwitz. I do.
Yeah. Do the Pirates get the first pick?
As far as the draft lottery?
Yeah. I didn't even check that out. That was yesterday, right?
Yeah. No, Pirates lost that one. It was not good for the Pirates. The Nationals got the first round pick again. Okay. The Angels got second and the Mariners got third. And then after that, I stopped paying attention because I was looking for my Mariners.
I mean, they struck gold with Paul Skeens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, good for the Pirates. They got Horwitz. They have Skeens in this. Like, I see some very positive young talent going to Pittsburgh, and it's I'm happy for the Pittsburgh fans. I also feel bad for them because they're also with an organization that doesn't spend any money. You're lucky enough to have your favorite team actually spend money. Like, they'll go out and they'll build a team they want to win. My team, not so much. And my side team, my National League team that I root for, the Padres, for the most part, if it's not the Diamondbacks, because I lived in Arizona. And they were, you know, they were fun to watch the last few years. They've been really, you know, they got Manny. They extended Tatis. They got Bogarts, even though it wasn't a good move, obviously. Ha-Seong Kim playing really well. Cronenworth starting to build himself up. Then they trade and get Arise. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is starting to look really good. Then they got Dylan Cease, and it's like, oh my God. And they got Michael King. And it's like, yeah. All right. So it's starting to get really exciting. And then, like, the news breaks out, you know, oh, well, the former owner who unfortunately passed away, he took out a whole lot of loans that MLB's not happy about. So this whole talk of, and this is why I have this opinion of why I think they're doing this is, you know, they let go Kyle Higashioka. I think they should have re-signed him because Capusano's not very good and his weird batting stance doesn't make him cool if you can't produce. And then he
only costs $5 million.
You know? Exactly.
But I will say this though, for
Higashioka,
they have a really good catcher coming up. Ethan Salas, the kid is,
but he's supposed to be really good. I think
he's probably not ready this year, but he's close.
Yeah, he's coming up. He's coming up close, but it's like you got Michael King right now. You have Dylan Cease, but that talks of the trades. It's like, okay, are you getting rid of him because of his contract? He's got 1 year left. You want to get the biggest return, and it's all for prospects, or are you trying to get more bats? Or you're trying to get a catcher, you know. Ethan Salas, he's still in high A. So and he's 18 years old.
He was playing here in double A in San Antonio for a while.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, but he's young.
Yeah.
He was doing good too.
Mm-hmm. He's 18. And then right behind him is DeVries. And he's in low A. He's also 18. He's a good shortstop. Padres shot themselves in the foot with Bogarts. I have nothing against Bogarts. I think he was great. He was great in Boston. He's had a rough couple of years. He's not producing offensively. I think defensively he's still good, but there's a reason why they moved him over when Ha-Seong Kim, you know, this last season basically took over shortstop. So, and then of course through the season, they made a lot of changes as far as acquiring Arise, having Cronenworth go to second, Arise plays first, and now they have, you know, a platoon at shortstop between Bogarts and Ha-Seong Kim. So it was a fun team to watch. Unfortunately, they weren't able to beat the juggernaut Dodgers, of course, and there's a massive rivalry there. And of course, Dodger fans think that I'm just like, I must hate the Dodgers. Like, yeah, I don't like the organization, but I like the players. You know, I like Shohei. I like Freddie Freeman. I think Mookie's a funny guy who's got a lot of personality that can really carry this team, and it's a good fit for him versus Boston. But circling back to Boston, they made a mistake. They should have never let Mookie Betts go.
Oh yeah, that's definitely that was their demise right there.
As of right now, that is their second round of the Bambino.
Yep.
Curse the Bambino.
Like, oh, you think so? Oh man, don't say that.
I don't think it's gonna last as long, you know, because it's gotta be like 80 years before you're like, all right, ever since this time we haven't gone to a World Series. Of course that was broken, but it's been, you know, they lost probably the best center fielder they've had in a while. And I understand Jaron Duran is very good. I think he can potentially be as good as Mookie Betts. But, you know, he had one really, really, really good season. That's about it. So I don't want to get too hyped up.
Yeah. This year we'll see. He's good, though.
He's good. I'm not going to take that away from him. And maybe, you know, his bat, if it can carry over, will get them more wins, get them deeper, and get them into the playoffs. But I'm looking at what I'm staring at right now, and I'm reading through this, is Garrett Crochet's game logs from last season. You know what? That's the beautiful thing about going live, is that I can share this with you. So let's get this up on here. Did I do that right? Yeah. Okay. So hopefully you guys can see this for a decent amount. So, of course, this is game by game as far as where he played last year all the way through the season. And then, of course, the ERA changes. So amazing, amazing, amazing. Ooh, had a little rough day. Had a really bad day. Continuing to have a rough day. And it just got worse. So, you know, he ended May almost at a 6.0 ERA.
That's a bad month.
It's a bad month with his FIP being a 4.03. So they're teeing off on him. Of course, he's playing Minnesota, Philly, and Cincinnati. But Cincinnati was a home game. He should have been able to handle that. Phillies, I understand. They're a good powerhouse. They're good. But if you're going to be elite pitcher, that's rough. I mean, 3 home runs, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks, 7 earned runs. Oof. So they didn't even pull him out. They just let him. Yeah, that's bad. Entering May, I mean, he did better. Only earned, you know, it started going down from here. He went from a 5 to the end of the month all the way down to a 3.68 ERA, and his FIP was back down to a 3.09, which is way better. It's a big significance. So May, I think that's when he started turning heads. That's when we started talking about him. And then June was when, is right around before the All-Star break, when Crochet was like, all right, this has got to be the best pitcher in baseball right now on the American League side, because everybody was, well, besides Tariq Skubal, but besides Chris Sale. And the only reason why I think Garrett Crochet didn't win it at Cy Young, and I don't like to attribute it to a whole team, is his very last month, which, you know, it started looking not as elite. You have ended June 302. If he just stayed there, perfect. But then he started to kind of give up a certain amount of runs, and there was a lot of losses involved. I mean, if you're giving up, you know, a home run and 3-0 runs to Seattle, which is, and I can talk shit, this is my team, okay? This is the worst offense in baseball. so
and that's pre-Rosarena, right?
Yeah, this is, yeah, exactly. Let's see, this is the 28th, so literally 2 days before Rosarena shows up. And you gave up 3 runs, 6 hits. You only had 3 strikeouts on a club that strikes out more than any other team. Really? So that's where people start going, what's going on here? They play Minnesota again. He has a decent run, but then he jumps up to, you know, 3.65, 3.61. I mean, this is not Cy Young levels. And of course, people were watching. You're probably like, oh, it doesn't matter. These are insignificant. But he wasn't what he was at the beginning of the season. Like, these are good numbers. Don't get me wrong. Boston kind of laid into him. So did the Mets. And then also Oakland. it's just the strikeout numbers also decreased significantly. You look at back in June, 10 strikeouts, 13 strikeouts, 11 strikeouts, 11, 11, 10. He was in double digits. And then for the rest of the season, he was in single digits. The best he ever did was against Houston at 9. And that's what brought him down significantly as far as the ERA and his FIP. So I just hope that this right here, like the first four games, and then I would say the rest of June and July is what you're getting the whole season for the Red Sox. You being a Yankees fan, I bet you're hoping for more of this.
I'm looking for more of those fives or sixes.
Yeah, you're looking for that. Well, unfortunately, you know, how did he do against your New York? Did he even pitch against them?
Everybody plays up when they play the Yankees. Or is it just me? But I feel like all of a sudden my Mariners did. Yeah. Especially for a team like the White Sox, that's their World Series right there.
Yeah. Well, I think their World Series is when it came down to the final few games against the Angels, and they didn't want that record. Like it was 119 or 120 already. They didn't want to be the new Mets, and then they finally got it, unfortunately. But everybody was showing up to the games just to witness history. But did Chicago? He never pitched against the Yankees. Huh.
No, we dodged the bullet, I guess.
Yeah, next season.
Either that or because, you know, sometimes, especially when you're looking to trade somebody and that might be a potential, I don't know, unless they were hiding some. Sometimes teams that keep them away, you know. Yeah. Or they'll showcase them either way. But I think, look, in his defense, right, because I'm pretty sure it's tough to pitch on a losing team when you know you're pitching for nothing at that point, you know?
Yeah, that's at that point though, I will push back and I'll say he's pitching for the trade. He's pitching for value. He's pitching for himself because it's kind of a booster being on such a terrible team and you're their ace he replaced Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
He was their Dylan Cease last season. Even with, you know, Dylan Cease being traded at the very beginning of the season. Like he stepped in, and these are Dylan Cease numbers for White Sox. And I would say don't look at the wins and losses. You know, that's not on him, because except for a couple games, but a 3.58 ERA last season. That's Dylan Cease numbers, not Cy Young, but Dylan Cease numbers. And he knows, based on what happened with Dylan Cease, White Sox get a big package. He's going to get traded. He was pitching for himself going to the All-Star game. That is a pitcher's mindset. I mean, I was a pitcher in college and all that. Like that was my, you pitch your best to get your team to win. And that's the game you focus on, because that's your job and that's it. Hitters, offense, you're on the field every game. And if you're on the field every single game, you're thinking about how can I play a part in getting the win? And if you don't get the win, then people don't really pay attention to what your performance was like. And it's every single game, because people forget rapidly. It's either you won or you didn't win. And that's another reason why, what's a good example? I mean, I would say Luis Robert, but that's a terrible example, because he, on the other end, as far as their mindset goes, he's, like you said, on a team that can't win. And he's kind of like, it wears on you. It's just like Miguel Vargas, when he got traded by the Dodgers to the White Sox, the second game, he's sitting in the corner like a bat boy looking at the field like, how the hell am I here right now when I was just on a World Series team?
Yeah,
like
it's crazy.
That's going to tear you down inside. And I think that's killing Luis Robert's value. We all know he's very good and he has, I don't want to say potential, he is an all-star, but something is grinding him down. And if you can find a way out of Chicago,
yeah,
that'd be good, but they got to do it quick because his contract is ending soon.
Yep. That's how Mike Trout feels, right? That's how he must feel.
He's very loyal. He's with, you know, he's already mentioned to the media, like, I want to win a World Series here in in LA, in Anaheim, whatever you want to call it. In Anaheim. It's in Anaheim. I don't care what you guys say. Ooh, Los Angeles. It's not. It's south. I've been there. That's his team. He got drafted. He's played there his entire career. They went to the playoffs and they played very well and they blew it with Ohtani. I can't stress that enough. They really killed their, they really killed their opportunity to make this upcoming season something very viable for playoff race. Yeah. You should have traded him.
Yeah.
You should have traded him because the writing was on the wall that you weren't going to dominate the AL West, which means you weren't going to make the playoffs. And if you were going to make the playoffs, you don't take that caliber of player with that much value and hang on to him for a wild card race.
Yeah. I feel the same way about the Giants. They should have traded Blake Snell in the end there. And I think that's really, it sucks, man. That came around to bite them. Because they still, you know, he went to your rival. You didn't get nothing for him. And you're paying him $17 million to pitch against you.
It's crazy.
It's a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's a, I wouldn't say that's a pill you're swallowing. But, you know, that's just my terrible, dirty mind speaking up. But I think it would have been different with Buster Posey in charge.
Yeah.
I know he just took over this last season, like this now. But if he was in charge at the very beginning of this last season, I believe he started like this season, right? Am I getting that wrong?
I know that Willie Adames was his first. That was his first move, pretty much.
That's his first move. So, absolutely. Yeah. So, if he was here and running this team spring 2024.
Yeah, I think he makes the trade.
Yeah, 1,000%. There was a lot of offseason mistakes and midseason mistakes on the Giants part. It's just, I think it's coming around. It's your first move is, let me break my own record for the largest contract in this franchise history. Let's do that. And they do that with Willie Adames.
So I'm curious to hear what's your take on the whole Juan Soto shenanigans. What do you think? Is he worth it?
Sweetgate or what part?
I mean, just the overall contract. Is he worth that much money? In your opinion? Obviously, that you have four teams willing to give him over $700 million.
No. It's inflated. He's not worth that in my book. But you pay to play, you know? You talk up. The problem is Ohtani set the bar. And unfortunately, he's worth what he was paid. 100%. Because you're paying for two different players in one guy.
Yep.
That's worth it. Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. Why is he a Gold Glove finalist?
I know that seemed rigged. That was kind of rigged right there.
He didn't win it, but why was he a finalist?
That feels like a Scott Boras had his hand in that somewhere. Because if you think about that, that's the one thing that everybody says about Soto, that's his weakness. That's his kryptonite right there, his defense.
Yeah. And yeah,
your Gold Glove finalist, it just sounds good. Sounds better.
It makes zero sense. Let me get this for you. Let's pull this
up. I would say though, he's serviceable out there.
Oh wait, no, he's not. He's not like Soler.
Yeah. So there's a permanent DH.
So negative one run value fielding. How is that Gold Glove?
Yeah, that's
his arm. So he has a good arm, not very strong. So he's accurate, not very strong, and his range is -5. Yeah, Gold Glove has nothing to do with batting. I the whole thing, that was stupid to me. He can't run bases. He can't field. He's a bat. If anything, you should be paying him as if he's a DH.
That's pretty bold to say. I mean, eventually,
why? Why is that bold? I don't understand.
I mean, I know, I like, if you're giving him 15 years, at some point he's probably gonna be a DH, you know.
Yeah, I give him 6.
Yeah, I mean, you're not paying him for his glove. That's
no, you're not.
Obvious, you know? Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You're paying him as like a DH. Paying for his bat. That's all he's good
for. He's a very
for.
Good DH. But he's I tell a very, you, I, you know,
very good like, DH that can fill a spot in the outfield and then open up a spot for you to put another DH in there, like Giancarlo Stanton with the Yankees. That made sense because Giancarlo Stanton runs as fast as molasses.
Oh yeah, man.
So, yeah. So sorry, one of my subscribers, Jack Powers, he's always been involved in these live streams. He's a really good guy, and he's actually very intuitive. He sent me quite a few of his own kind of personal articles, and I'm going to use that for my research. He's very in depth, but he's been commenting. Sorry, Jack. Number one. Yeah, I don't know if you should have access as far as comments go, but so, yeah. So he confirmed it. Yeah, it was 2 years on his contract. Yeah, number one task, extend him. But how much? How much do you extend Garrett Crochet? And then Garrett Crochet already has one Tommy John, and that was as a relief pitcher until last year he became a starting pitcher, which is true. So how long before that TJ needs to be reconstructed or he needs to get an internal brace?
Well, the good thing is that he already got the first, because at least he's got one, so he's got some years in him.
That doesn't – tell that to Tyler Glasnow.
I mean, unfortunately, that's just – that's how it is these days. Every pitcher is at some point, not everyone, God forbid, but I'd say 90% of pitchers at some point are going to have Tommy John surgery. I mean, he's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's going to get some years. You know, we just signed, the Yankees just signed Max Fried, gave him 8 years, you know, at 31 years old. So, mm-hmm.
I don't understand that contract either. This is the I don't want to say fallout. This is the repercussion of the Juan Soto deal. You have someone. It's a domino effect. You had Otani, $700 million, and then you find the next bat that's not even as good as Otani, and you beat it out because it's like the next. I don't know, the next best thing you could possibly get. And it's a bidding war. And of course, he's not as humble as Otani is when it comes to money. You know, no deferments. Oh, no. He's flashy. And nothing against him. Like, good for you. If you have the ability to be a generational hitter, and as you saw in his Savant, he is, and take the money that you deserve. You absolutely deserve to get paid. Take advantage of that. From a fan or ownership perspective, way too much. And in response to that, well, now you know how much money everybody has. Now, now it's like, oh, you had 5 teams that were like, yeah, we'll take them. Mm-hmm. We'll grab them.
$700 million, no problem.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and I think
players are like, well, how bad do you need a pitcher? And Max Fried has been the talk because he had a great season last season. He's been good most of his career and consistent. He's not Cy Young level, but that's a lot of money for a, like, we're starting to get to Garrett Cole numbers. We're very close.
Yeah, very close. But I don't put that one on. So I think the pitching market is kind of separate, right? I think that tone was set this year, especially when the Angels signed Kikuchi, and they gave him that deal. And then look at how much Severino got with the A's. So the pitching market is already inflated. You know, Blake Snell got a nice deal.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns, I mean, he's going to be in the 30s.
I would like to say that the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Braves, I think – teams playing against them saw how valuable it is to have a team with elite pitching this last season. How the hell were the Mariners in the playoff race? They were out by one game. Okay, one game. but yet be the worst offensive team in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, their rotation is elite.
Elite. Mm-hmm. This is almost like the 2016 – shit, I should know this. The 2016 Seahawks. We're switching to football. defense. Legion of Boom.
The Legion of Boom.
And that was the mindset. Defense. As long as you can get down the field and score not rotation. God, I'm still stuck in baseball so much. But possession. That was the word I was looking for.
Yep.
Every other possession, you're going to win because your defense is just that good.
Yeah.
It's the same accent to baseball. If your pitching is so dominant where you can only score one or two runs,
mm-hmm.
more than likely, most teams are able to score more than one or two runs so you can win. And that, when the beginning of the season, the Mariners could do that. After that, what the hell happened there? I have no idea. But there's a whole big issue with offense for them. But that, along paired with the struggles of the Braves offensively, Austin Riley not hitting like he did, Matt Olson is gone. I don't know what happened to him. He goes to away to some other state. Maybe he'll come back this season. The hitting was terrible. And because of that, the pitching had to pick it up. And the pitching did pick it up with some unknown names, as Strider was gone. You lost a lot of pitching arms, but people stepped up. You had, he was on fantasy. And obviously, I'm forget what's his name. Ronaldo Lopez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude was incredible. I don't know why people aren't talking about him. Like, that is a pitcher.
He came out of nowhere, too.
Oh, he was insanely good. He mm-hmm. was amazing. And so that saved the Braves to make it to the playoffs because of their pitching, because their offense was it was still there, but you didn't have Acuña. Mattelson wasn't hitting. Austin Riley was kind of not really there. Albies was injured. Injury. I made a couple videos on that the whole season. Yeah. It sucks for Braves fan. If you're an Atlanta Braves fan, I'm sorry. Yeah. Because if you had a healthy team, it would have been Braves and Mets playing each other, and probably the NLDS or NLCS, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, depending on how the bracket went. But yeah, I mean, no matter what, I'm pretty sure the Dodgers would have made the World Series. But that's a really good team, and it was held up by its pitching. And I think that attributed to why this season, to go into the offseason, granted, there's not a ton of pitchers available. That also raises the market, and these guys are getting paid and they're getting big deals. And then on top of that, as far as another factor, the CBA is going to be renegotiated in 2026, I believe. So they're like, I'm getting my money now before ownership's like, hey, like, we don't know our future, so we can't do these deferrals like these major market teams. We got to find some sort of limitation, because now we're just losing all the players because mm-hmm. the Dodgers are signing everybody. Dodgers aren't doing anything wrong.
No, they're not. And they're not doing anything that most, if you look at a lot of the big contracts out there, you will find deferred money in there.
Max Scherzer,
it's nothing new. It's just that when you're deferring $680 million, that caught everyone's attention. That's what it is, you know, but most contracts have some form of deferred payments or something like that. Most big contracts.
Yeah.
So that's nothing new.
Yeah. And it's easier for teams that have a revenue that's secure. And mm-hmm. ironically, tell me which teams are those. Teams with their own network.
Yep.
Yankees. Yes. Yeah. Dodgers have their own. It's like Los Angeles something. I don't watch them, so I don't know. and I get all their games through MLB Network. So it's like, it's teams that have a set revenue with a huge market as far as population. They sell mm-hmm. out. They have tons of money. At the same time, I want to say 2025. I want to see the shift, because Mets fans are going to be paying a lot more for their tickets. What it is. They're going to pass that expense over to them. So
the customer.
And it's not deferred. None of it.
Yeah, it's all cash on hand. But, mm-hmm. I think that, look, It's worth it for Mets fans, I think. You know, what they're gonna add an extra $5 on some seats, I'm sure they'll pay it.
They might. So do you think
are you in favor of a salary cap?
No.
No,
absolutely not.
I think at this point it's too late to start implementing something like that.
What are you gonna say, a billion?
I know that's
it doesn't matter at that point. Then what you're gonna do is like, all right, let's play fake fantasy reality, whatever the future holds. Marcelo Mayer, since we're talking about the Red Sox and they signed Garrett, or they didn't sign, they acquired Garrett Crochet. Marcelo Mayer should be coming up this year. Let's say he is the next Derek Jeter. Let's just say it. He's the best thing that the Red Sox have ever had in their system for a shortstop. And he comes up this year and he continues to hit 307, get on base 370, slug 480. His OPS is 850. Let's just say those are the numbers he's putting up for the next 6 years in Boston. And CBA comes out and there is a salary cap of $1 billion. All right. I want the max. Give me $1 billion.
Yeah.
Then what you're going to do, argue how long? Like, okay, we'll give you here's seven teams. They'll give you $1 billion. Who's just going to do the shortest amount of time?
Yeah.
That's all it's going to come down to. And then it's like, you have nothing but players that are all going to reach that based on inflation. And I mean, it there's no fun in that either. Like, that's not intriguing to fans. So
yeah.
We got a third guest.
Oh, yeah, she wants. Okay, calm down. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so I mean, so what do you think? I'm not sure how closely you follow the Yankees, right? I'm sure you hear all the noise and everything. What do you think about that Max Fried deal? Because a lot of people are saying it's an overpay. It is slightly an overpay, but I mean, that's what it's going to take to get top of the line pitching these days.
I'm kind of split. Here's the thing. I don't think it's there's a caveat to this. I'm saying this, but there's a caveat. I don't think it's an overpay. I think the Yankees put themselves in a bad position where they're trying to do the fundamental idea of the Dodgers, where inflation is going to take over. They're going to make more money. They're going to be able to afford the contract 8 years from now. But he's 31. He's going to be 39 at the end of his contract. Mm-hmm. Is that worth it? Like, why? I don't think it was smart to sign him for that long. I would have given him half at 4 years.
Yeah.
Equivalent to the same amount, AAV, but lock in for 8 years. I don't know. To me, that just seems like you're shooting yourself in the foot. It's like pulling a Garrett Cole, because he wasn't good this year. And Luis Hill came in and he was great this year. And I think they are either going to extend him or they're going to trade him for a bunch of prospects to refill their farm system.
So I mean, right now in Yankee fan universe, the hopes are that we could somehow make a trade for Kyle Tucker. How likely is that? I really, really think it's highly unlikely. But apparently, from all the reports, they're interested in Luis Hill.
Yeah,
which kind of makes the Max Fried deal a little more worth it, in my opinion, because now you can afford to trade Luis Hill. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer to trade Clark Schmidt over Luis Hill any day, but
I would rather trade Marcus Stroman.
Marcus Stroman, oh yeah, he's definitely good, but they're not going to take him.
Right? No.
But a guy like Kyle Tucker, I don't know. I think with the whole Kyle Tucker thing, I think it's highly unlikely.
Does Houston really need pitching, though? Like, do they really need pitching? They have Framber Valdez. They have Ronel Blanco. They have Hunter Brown. Do they need pitching? I think they need other things. I think they need third base.
I need a first baseman.
Yeah. I mean, John Singleton did fine for them.
I think that the whole thing with Kyle, I think they saw what Soto got and was like, oh, we're not going to be able to sign this guy. Mm-hmm. If that's the bar, because in my opinion, I think Kyle Tucker's a overall much better player than Juan Soto. Well, maybe not much better, but he's a better player overall.
Defense. Okay.
You know, even his base running, man, he's not the fastest guy, but he's faster than Juan Soto. I think he's a better player. I'm not saying he's gonna get $700 million or anything like that, but the way he's looking, like, he's gonna get at least $450-500 million.
I'm cheating here because I'm looking at a Savant page, but I don't know if I agree with the statement that Tucker's better overall. I don't think I can say yes. And I'm cheating here because I'm looking at his Savant page, and I'll share it with you. This is 2023.
Again, too, I could be a little spiteful towards Juan Soto.
I have a feeling there's a little bit of a hatred spite there. Because like, his range is -6. His arm value is 0. His arm strength is up. It is a exact flip-flop of like ratings here. Defensive value is still -5, his fielding value. And if I gotta pull up Soto again, and this is 2023 because technically 2024 didn't qualify, and I don't want to convolute this with, you know, oh well, he didn't, you know, he only played, you know, 277 at bats, whatever, versus Juan Soto had a whole season. So, because that's just not fair. It doesn't really make any sense. So I have to go off of last season when he was completely healthy. And then you have Juan Soto's, which is, I mean, his is a -1 defensive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and value. Kyle Tucker's is -5.
So, and then you look at his.
That's what the numbers say, but to the eyes, to, I don't know.
To the bias, opinion, to the Yankee.
No. Because I've seen him there. Like, when you see Juan Soto take a route to a fly ball in the gap,
it's bad.
It's bad. It looks awkward.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing. You can see that. And I mean, I will. Okay, so if I do decide to go ahead and let's go off of 2024, where he didn't play very much. Let's just say that this is not qualified.
That's half a season. We can't really.
Yeah, it's half a season, but yeah, his fielding was better. One win value. His range is 1. He got better with a smaller, with less opportunities. Mm-hmm. And his batting is relatively similar. He's not going to hit as many bombs as you'd like. But being, you know, a left-handed batter, this is probably the closest thing you're going to get to Juan Soto, if that's the route you want to go as a Yankees organization. But who are you going to trade away? Because you can also go out and just sign Anthony Santander and not give up anybody in your farm system. And he doesn't have any injury concerns.
And that's the problem too, that, you know, it sounds good and everything, but then we're back at square one. Mm-hmm. We have a superstar rental, and we got to figure out how we're going to keep him.
And what's going on with Verdugo? I haven't been following that.
I think right now I'd be surprised if the Yankees bring him back, because offensively he was just terrible last year, you know, but I'd really be surprised, but who knows, you know?
I mean, who else are they? Yeah. Unless they make a big trade, they do Kyle Tucker, and they also bring in, I don't know, Chaz McCormick. Maybe that's part of a deal. I mean, I can see them trading away a pitcher. I would not want to give up Luis Hill, but that's what it might take, because they have Arigetti as their number four for Houston, and they have Luis Garcia, who hasn't, I mean, this is Fangraphs. He didn't even pitch. And it's very weird because he's an amateur free agent out of Venezuela, and he has 4 year service time, but he didn't pitch at all last season. That's their number five. So maybe they do. Maybe they do need a starting pitcher, since Christian Javier is injured and getting Tommy John, and he won't be back till probably August. And then JP France has a shoulder surgery. So, and he probably won't be back until May. So, you know, maybe they do need a pitcher, and Luis Hill is probably, that's a blockbuster trade right there. But I don't know what Houston would do. They would need, they would need a prospect outfielder to replace, because you're going to put DeBon out in right field, left field. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a Houston fan. I actually hate Houston, but so I don't follow too much on what they would do in their strategy. And but they do have good players.
I think it's, I mean, it's, I still think it's highly unlikely to do that, especially with the Yankees, when you know that, you know, we probably at some point see each other again in the playoffs, you know,
possibly,
yeah. hopefully.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think that, what's their, Jim Crane? I think he realizes that, hey, the market for Kyle Tucker is going to be more than he can stomach, you know, more than he can afford. I'm pretty sure they talked extensions and couldn't make it happen. So he's like, you know what? Let's see what we can get for him at this point.
Well, I'm curious about his home run, expected home runs by park. So he hit 23 last season, which is pretty good for playing half a season. Like, obviously, very good. But for New York,
it's got to be more than that.
Well, if he played in New York, he would only hit 19.
19.
Yeah. Oh. So, almost all of the numbers actually were going to be less than they were in Houston. Every single one of these last year were in the blue. So it's, yeah, that's interesting, because it sounds like the best park for him is in Houston.
Yeah. Unless he takes the ball the other way a lot, but I don't see how you can beat that short Porsche at right field. Course,
these are expected home runs if they played like every single game in, in Houston. Or in Yankee or wherever. Mm-hmm. This is like, because even Houston here is 22 versus 23. Mm-hmm. So I guess he got lucky on a couple of them, just hit it to the right spot. But yeah, only 19 for New York. Even worse for Boston.
That's how I feel about Alex Bregman. You know, I feel like I'm not going to say, because he's a good player, obviously, but I think that park, he benefits from that left field and what they call it now, Minute Maid Park. It's not Minute Maid Park, whatever they call it now.
Dykin Field, like a AC company, which I guess they didn't have AC there. So I think
he benefits from that wall there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, probably. And I don't know what else that they're going to be able to do with that roster. I'm hoping, though, we see a little bit more from Boston, though, because they're still not competitive. I mean, and Boston fans are going to be like, well, yeah, we are. Look at the pitching we have. And it's like, really? Look at the pitching you have?
Yeah.
Like, you have a lot of really good names that are suffering a lot of injuries. So your number one right now is going to be Garrett Crochet, hands down, even though he has a higher ERA than Tanner Houck, than Richard Fitz. Well, let's look at your injured players. I don't think I can pull up, but Lucas Giolito probably had a lower ERA, I think, in 2023. Garrett Whitlock did good. He's also injured. So you have elbow surgery, internal brace, and they're not going to be back till like mid-season. So you need to get another pitcher. You need someone to make Cutter Crawford your number five and move everybody down, because the extension with Bello, another bad move, I think, for Boston. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did not do good last season. He did not do well last season, a 4.49 ERA.
The Giolito signing was a bad move, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, but who knows? Maybe they land Corbin Burns. I think that's they need to get it. They haven't spent a dime, obviously, no, right? With the exception of Aroldis Chapman. They got their closer. But besides that, they haven't spent a nickel. So they showed their hand. They showed their fan base. They have 700 million plus
for 16 years.
Yep. So
yep,
they got to do something. Me as a Yankee fan, I hope they do nothing and just keep it as it is. I hope they do nothing.
I mean, who else is going to go after? I don't think the Orioles are in on Burns. I really don't. I don't think they have the money for it. I think they trust in their pitching. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a good thing. The new ownership is doing well. They're spending money. They got Tyler O'Neill. I think, honestly, they're looking at his stats and what Tyler O'Neill did last season, and they're just going to address that left field because he's a pull hitter hardcore. They're just going to adjust it for him. So whatever he did last year is going to make it like 5 feet in where those spots he hit home runs, and he's gonna do fine. But he's only played one series in Boston, or sorry, not Boston, in Baltimore ever. His entire career, he's only played there for one series, and that's
weird, right?
Really
in
bad.
The same division, and he only played there once.
Well, he only played in Boston for 1 year. Every his entire career before that has been in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the bigs, he was drafted by the Mariners. Mariners, you fucked up. And they just never played each other. So it's a very small sample size, but they're just looking at how he hits and way he hits. And he obviously wanted to play there. He's okay with being in Baltimore, and they were going to pay him the money. I think that change that they're doing, which is ranges from 5 feet to 20 feet from what I read.
Yeah.
That's going to make a huge difference for him to hit a lot more bombs. So I think that's going to be great for Baltimore as long as they do the construction right.
Yeah.
But
technically, if you think about it, right, that kind of just offsets Anthony Santander, right? Yeah. So they pretty much back at square one without a Corbin Burns. You know, it's going to be interesting. I don't think they're done either. I think they'll make some sneaky moves here and there. Mm-hmm. They got the prospects to move, obviously.
Yeah. So, they have too many infielders. It's a waste of room. Ramon Urias should be moved. You know, they're keeping Jordan Westberg. It's from what it sounds like, they're putting their eggs in the basket with Jackson Holliday.
They got to make room for him.
Well, he's got to be. I don't know. I don't think he's ready, but
you're not high on Holliday, on Jackson Holliday.
Just from what I watched last season, no. And it's a lot of pressure, man. So I am in no way saying that, you know, he sucks. He's not bad. He's just young. His debut was in Boston. I made a video on that about, you know, the fans were just fucking brutal on him.
Oh yeah,
man. And it's like, dude, like he's 20.
I know, right?
I think he was 19 at the time. Like, like, give him a break. It's not like he is, you know, he's not Juan Soto. He's not like some old guy who's like a, you know, FU to every team. He's a kid. He just wants to get ahead.
And it's a lot of pressure on him.
Exactly. You
know, his brother might be the first round pick overall.
That's what it looks like. And from what I hear, he has more power and he's better, which is like, I don't know. It feels more like hype because, I mean, maybe because he's had more time to develop and, you know, he's had a mentor with Jackson, but Jackson Holliday was great in AAA. He was, there's a reason why he got called up, but there's something he needs to make some sort of adjustment to the big league. It proves that that's a big jump. And if they're making room for him, then they have guys that they can trade. Cause they have a lot of middle infielders. And I think they need to go out and get themselves another outfielder. Austin Hayes is gone. Santander's gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have Tyler O'Neill, not the best defensively. Cedric Mullins, pretty good. He's great. I thought he was older than he was, but he's only like 31. And then who do you put in right? You're really going to do, you're going to do Couser? Okay.
He was good. Good. I like Couser.
Yeah, I like him too. But he was bumpy. There's a reason why he didn't win Rookie of the Year.
I mean, he's a rookie though. You got to expect, you know, I think he's going to
tell that to Jackson Merrill. Tell that to Jackson Chourio. Exactly, tell that right. to all these outfielders that left him in the dust. Nationally, it was way more controversial when it came to the Rookie of the Year versus American League. American League, I was kind of like, eh, give it to whoever, I guess, because Austin Wells, eh. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't that much, but I like Jackson Merrill.
He should have won it. Oh, yeah. I think he deserved it. I think Luis Hill filled a good spot. He was great, but Rookie of the Year blows my mind because Jackson Merrill was, I think, most deserving. That's just my opinion. And I mean, it is what it is. So Red Sox got Crochet. What's next for them? Hopefully Burns. They need Burns at this point. They need to sign Burns and they need to go out and get some outfielders because there's a hole in the outfield. It is what it is. I mean, Trevor Story should be coming back for shortstop. They paid him a ton of money. So he's got to work out. I don't know if they're really in it for Bregman. I mean, I don't know if they're in it for Arenado. I can see that just because he's willing to play first. But I mean, right now for their outfield, they have Jaron Duran, Willier, Abreu, and Kedenna Rafaela. So they're not bad, but there's not a lot of, you know, crazy power. Rafaela slugged like 390.
It makes me wonder why not try to include Luis Robert Jr. in that package. You know, maybe you have to, obviously you're gonna have to give up more, but
it's a lot of money for a guy who did not perform well last year.
Yeah,
he didn't. Injuries. He didn't do well.
I think if he's healthy, he's gonna perform.
He was healthy last year for the most part, and he didn't do well.
Yeah,
I mean
So it should be cheaper. Really,
Cheaper, but his contract's expensive too. So do you really want to trade for a guy that is mostly blue on his savant? Like, it's bad.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's
but I think his ceiling is so high. I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas for them.
This is his batting run value is negative
15. I don't want him.
Yeah, I don't know why you would include him in there. I mean, I don't know. You know what? You're right. I'm going to give you that. I think they should have included him in there. You eat the money because his money is it's going to suck for a little bit, but maybe you can change things around with his hitting. As far as I know, the training staff with the White Sox is god awful, and that's from what Tommy Pham said when he was there. Like, they're just like, all right, go hit some balls. It's like, you know, work with me, and they're like, yeah, just hit balls. And I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. Like, that was the extent of their training, and that's just not good. And maybe in Boston that can change things for Luis Robert. And then hopefully he becomes someone that is worth the $15 million he's getting paid in 2025, and then $20 million he's getting paid in 26 and 27. And he has there's a club option for the next 2 years. So that's valuable, because then you can let go of him if he doesn't work out. But, you know, Getz, even though you gave up your 4-5 and 11 and 15 prospects, you only got Crochet.
Yeah.
How much more did you have to pay for Luis Robert as well?
Yeah, he's tough to deal with. He's tough to do. Right now, I have my eyes turned. Obviously, the Yankees, you know, we need a first baseman. We need an outfielder. And our bullpen is non-existent at this point. So the people I'm looking at, my wish list is Kirby Yates, Jeff Hoffman, I mean, obviously, this is probably not going to get everybody, but.
Yeah, those are the elites right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a Tanner Scott, I mean, or at least two of those three would be insane for me.
Then you have a 1-2-3 with Luke Weaver as your closer. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then from there, you can go go in the bargain bin and pick whoever you want, man, and throw them in there.
Who's the bargain bin nowadays? Estevez? Or did he sign with somebody?
Carlos Estevez, I don't think he signed yet.
He didn't sign yet, right?
No. Okay. But I don't know if you're familiar with Tim Hill from the Yankees. Oh, yeah. I think he deserves to get re-signed. I'm not sure what his market value is right now, but he came up clutch down the stretch. He's a good left-handed, and we don't have enough left. There's not enough left-handed relievers on the market right now, as far as free agency goes. Mm. I think Tanner Scott might be the only one. Might have a couple others there, but nobody who's like, you know, that caliber, you know. So I think
how much is it going to cost, though? What was his contract before?
Who, Tim Hill? Oh, I mean, it's probably the bare minimum.
Mm. I mean, he looked like he was shaking the rust off as soon as the playoffs hit. Like the first couple games, he's a little bit iffy. But yeah, through the rest of the stretch, he did come in clutch. But do you, like, I guess the question is how much is he going to cost? And then if he's going to cost a lot, just go get Kirby Yates. Just go get Tanner Scott.
He's not going to. I expect him to make maybe $2-2.5 million. I wouldn't go above that.
Yeah. Setup guy or as a mid reliever?
As a middle reliever.
Yeah, he went like 3 or 4 innings most of the time they got put out there. At this point, you're looking at, I mean, the Yankees, I still think, have an edge as far as their team, pitching-wise. Offensively, I think the Red Sox have the edge.
Yeah.
Still. Because you're missing an outfield. You only have Judge at this point. Trent Grissom.
Dominguez. I mean, hopefully Dominguez lives up to the hype. Yeah,
he hasn't. Yeah. He hasn't yet. So.
Not yet, but he's been dealing with injury, and he hasn't gotten his fair shot. So hopefully, if they give him a shot, or maybe they trade him and get something else. But
you'd be okay with him being traded
for the right person. I would. You know,
who would that be?
I mean, it wouldn't be Kyle Tucker unless he's gonna sign an extension, like. Because I'm very high on Dominguez. Obviously, I don't think he's gonna be. Some people say he's the next one. Sort of like let's tone it down a bit, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's gonna be a good major league baseball player, though.
I don't think Houston would take that either, just because of the injuries, just because of his.
Yeah. Not a one for one, but in some sort of package.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
I wouldn't do it though.
So you have Dominguez. So, and he's a center fielder. So what, is he going right or left?
No, he either left or center. It depends. But right now I have him in center field. And if they maybe get like go out and, I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing names out there at this point. Maybe Profar and go sign, you know, go bring him in.
Put
him in left. You know,
do you think the Padres aren't going to bring back Profar? I mean, I know he's holding out.
No, I think they will. I think they want to.
Yeah.
But
he's one of those Juan Soto-esque kind of guys where he's going to, I think he thinks he's a little bit worth more than he actually is. He had a great year last year. Don't get me wrong, but it was his 10th, 12th season in.
Mm-hmm. And it could have been a one-off.
Yeah. And now you're good and you're good. So far, the only team you're good with is the Padres, and you're like, I'm great. So I can play this anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Can you? Because you didn't in Colorado, and that was the most hitter friendly ballpark you played for.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, but he kills the Dodgers though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just throwing names out there. It could be anybody, or maybe, you know, the Yankees go and sign Christian Walker, which is what a lot of people think they will do, and maybe they trade for Cody Bellinger, and then you have Dominguez at left. You could put Cody at center, Oh, whatever they, I'm not saying that that's the moves that I want them to make specifically with Cody Bellinger. I'm not, I wouldn't be mad, but I'm just not totally convinced. I feel like he's a little risky. Well, I think Bellinger he's more
could be your first baseman.
Oh, he could be the first baseman. That's what I'm saying. If they sign Christian Walker and get Cody Bellinger, because he could flip flop from center to first, or they just trade for Cody Bellinger, but then we still have a hole in the outfield.
Yeah, yeah, your outfield's the biggest question mark. But I mean, yeah, if you stuck with Dominguez, if you were to sign Bellinger, right, I would say trade for Bellinger, put him at first, and then go get Santander and sign him in right. And that way you're only doing really one signing that's going to cost you nothing compared to Soto. And you're trading with is it a player option or is it club option with Bellinger? I think it's
a player option.
He's a player option. Yeah. And so he's not going to want to leave if he's doing poorly, but what is poorly compared to Rizzo?
Rizzo, know, that's what I'm saying. Anything's an upgrade.
Yeah. So, and he's a left-handed bat. So, you know, that right field wall looks pretty good in Yankee Stadium.
His swing is built for.
Exactly. So I see it as being pretty good. But anything else on Crochet before we sign off?
No, man. That's about it. I'm looking for an extension, like at some point. But I got one question for you, Chad. Okay. One question. How do you feel about Gleyber Torres to the Mariners? What do you think about that? Are you interested in him?
No.
No?
Okay. I just I did for a while, but then I think about it and I'm just falling back into that Mariners fan mindset of a big name that wore the pinstripes, but he didn't do well. There's a reason why he's not back in New York.
Yeah.
False hope of like it's the next Robbie Cano. It's not. And if he's not doing well hitting in Yankee Stadium, he's not going to do well hitting in T-Mobile Park because nobody hits well in T-Mobile Park. I would say Hyesung Kim would be a good pickup for the Mariners at second base over him. It's going to cost you less. Ha-Sung Kim would be a better pickup, even though he's had injury issues. And it's going to cost the same after the posting fee for Hyesung Kim. But I don't think the Mariners are going to do like jack shit.
I don't think like, so.
I really don't, because they are claiming they're hell bent on getting Roky Sasaki, and they are hell bent on saying that it's not our philosophy to go out in free agency and get people. They want to trade because this idea of like, we're going to trade to get the good players that are established with a contract that's not too long that we have control over. And then when they are about to end, we're going to trade away for prospects, and then we're going to use our prospects to trade to get the big names. And they do this revolving door. It doesn't work. Clearly, it doesn't work. And when they do go out and they spend big money on big name signings, they go after what's left. Teoscar Hernandez. They got Nelson Cruz, and he wasn't bad, but you know, it didn't last, unfortunately. It was just, there's nobody around him. And then there was the disasters of Colton Wong, Adam Frazier, you know, way back in the day, Richie Sexton from the Brewers was not a good signing. So it's just Gleyber Torres, I think, would be a fine addition at second base, but the Mariners do not have the money. As far as the release goes, they only have $16 million to spend, and that has not been, and that's nothing, by the way. And that is unconfirmed whether or not that includes arbitration costs or if it's after arbitration costs. Because if it includes arbitration costs, there's $3 million left.
Yeah. They might be in the negative after that.
What are you gonna? Yeah, it could be if things go to
Ofel Castillo. You know, got a salary dump.
And that's the talk. That's the talk. But it's going to be hard for any team to come up with an agreement because we're going to want so much for mm-hmm. him. And then he has a no trade clause, so he has to want to go as well. I don't see him being a stickler when it comes to that, but because he's getting paid no matter what. But it's what the Mariners are going to want for Castillo is probably not what other teams are going to be willing to give. And unfortunately, the longer we get into the offseason, I'm worried that the more Jerry Depoto will get more desperate to make some moves because you can't have what you had last season.
Yeah.
And no, there's so many holes.
And it's unfortunate because they're your guys' rotation is elite.
This is what I'm saying. Like I said earlier, you show what a good rotation can do. Mm-hmm. It can get you to the playoffs if you don't have the worst offense in baseball.
Yeah.
Well, you have the worst offense in baseball. So it didn't work out. And it's like this whole aim to be just good enough is a terrible philosophy. Unfortunately, that is the mindset of ownership because they don't care about the city. They don't care about the team. They don't care about the fans. They care about their revenue. And so his job is to get players that will draw in crowds and give hope. And he mm-hmm. sells hope and people buy into that hope. And then all they need to do is be close enough to the playoffs that people are like, oh, this is our year. This is our year. And it never happens. 2022, cool. You beat the Blue Jays and then you're knocked out immediately. It sounds pessimistic, but it's just the same shit, different day.
Same shit, different smell.
Different diaper. That's all it is. So, yeah. So I think Gleyber Torres is probably going to find a nice home somewhere else. And I would not be surprised if it was like the Giants and there's your middle infield. I don't think he's going to hit well at, in San Francisco, but I think he's not getting, nobody's crawling to him. And I think they would be like, hey, we'll give you $5 million. Mm-hmm. If you come play for us. And look at our team. We have Willie Adames. We have Matt Chapman. Look at us. Come on. Yeah. Come on over. You might be like, okay, that's fine. San Francisco's nice. I get paid $5 million. I'm happy.
So, $5 million. That'd be too low. I think he's going to get more than that. But
how is he worth more? How is he worth more?
I don't know. I think who knows, man? We'll see.
I guess we'll see, but you tell me that this is a $12 million player.
No, right? I don't think, but $5 million, man. Whew. Tim Anderson got $5 million last year.
It doesn't look good. This is a $5 million player right here. He doesn't chase. He's got a good sweet spot percentage. He is a quarter. He's a 23rd percentile on bat speed. He's 23rd percentile on a hard hit. So, good for him. He can hit base hits, 257, mm-hmm. A quarter of the time, but he can't slug. He doesn't hit the ball hard. And then his strikeout rate is over 20, and his whiff rate is 22%. His fielding is -4. So, if your batting value is a 5 and everything else is negative, you are a negative war player. So you're $5 million. If you get anything more than that, that team is messing up. Blue Jays might pick them up because they are a stupid organization after this latest trade. Jimenez was a mistake. I think they're going to move Bichette and then maybe they'll get Torres too. Cause I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing. That's just a rant, though. The Blue Jays, they have all this money, and strategically, they just seem to just be, let's get the best defensive team we can, and this might be their idea of their offensive addition. I have no idea, but that was my long-winded version of Gleyber Torres.
Oh, man. But I'm trying to help him out. I'm trying to help him out. I'm shopping around.
No, I don't want him back.
I don't want him back, but at the same time, I wish him the best, and I want to see him do well.
I think he's got to find the right team.
He just had a terrible walk year, a bad walk year.
Yep, and I don't know. I don't know who would need, who's desperate enough for second baseman besides the Mariners, and I don't think the Mariners are a good place because it's not a good place for batters that are struggling. It's just not. So Jason, join me on the next one for sure. Let's do this again, and we'll be a little bit more particular. At least we have breaking news. Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox. Red Sox gave up their 4, 5, 11, and 14th number prospects to the White Sox. Three of those four are going to be playing in 2025, most likely for the Chicago White Sox, while Crochet is now their ace. And I don't think they're done. At least they made a move. Yeah. So, all righty, guys. I'll see you on the next one.
I appreciate it, Chad. Take care, everyone.